Welcome to the second episode of the Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about the Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes mobile game. I'm your host, Ednar, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Coleman. How you doing today, Coleman?
I'm doing pretty good, Ednar. How about yourself?
I'm doing just great with all this wonderful news coming out in this game that just dropped. Oh, so much.
Just so happy these murder bears are finally gone.
They're not quite gone yet, but they're gone temporarily.
You had to remind me.
So, I guess, for starters, what's been new with you in the game? What have you been dealing with in the past week or so since our last episode?
With the wonderful celebration of Ewoks, I decided to finish off my Imperial Troopers, get them all 7-star, get them all Gear 11. And yeah, that does include Magma Trooper, unfortunately.
I saw that in Guild Chat, and I was laughing. I'm just like, did he really just Gear 11 Magma Trooper?
Yes, I did. And I'll admit, he hits a lot harder than I thought he would. He's quite a bit scarier.
I mean, where do you use him in your team?
I don't use him in my arena team, but my Phase 4 Imperial Troopers, now that I have a 7-star Veers as well, the tenacity bonus helps out immensely.
Okay. Now, on that team, is it Veers? Is he your leader?
Yeah, he's the only one with a actual leader ability.
Oh, he
troopers
is. Okay. So far. I like how you added the so far. Now, so you got all the... You got Veers to 7-stars, all that fun stuff. Arena's going well for you. Ship's going well for you.
Oh yeah, the ship shard and all that good stuff. That's pretty calm. The arena shard, you know, I have a shard chat going, and every now and then we have this one or two people try to push in, and we will just knock them out. But it's pretty calm too. What about yourself though? What's new with you?
Okay, so I don't know if I really went into this in the last episode, but I actually run two accounts. I have my A and B account, my both pure light side, basically. My B account is more Troot and Baze focused, so that's basically, I spend all my time doing that. But on my main account, I run Resistance. But I've been gearing up and working on getting, because I'm going to be unlocking Kenobi in, I think, two and a half weeks now. So I actually have all the gear needed from day one to get Kenobi from gear 1 to 11.
Okay, so you'll be one of the ones we'll be celebrating Kenobi Day on.
Kind of.
Okay.
I will be celebrating unlocking him. I probably will not be gearing him at all.
Fair.
And I we're gonna get into that because of all this Commander Luke stuff. I'm very hesitant putting all that gear on Kenobi when I may want to throw it all on Commander Luke instead.
Right.
Because that's a lot of good gear that I have saved up. 3 stun guns, 3 stun cuffs, you know, 450 Carbontes.
And you know, Commander Luke's probably going to need 10,000 Carbontes, as always.
If it's anything under 500 Carbontes, I'm disappointed.
We can all see it coming. Carbontes, Carbontes, Carbontes.
Carbontes up the wazoo. You're going to need like 6 purple pieces to get from gear 3 to 4, probably.
Oh, God. Don't say that.
So, but yeah, other than that, nothing much has been going on. I've been doing the resistance struggle in Arena, where I can beat anyone I face, but anyone and their mother can beat me.
That's the gist, pretty much, of Arena, though, is that there's not a whole lot of defense going on because of how the AI interact.
Yeah. Resistance, I've come to realize, is generally one of the worst. Like, I've fallen 60, 70 ranks overnight. Yeah, it gets pretty bad. But I can beat anyone I go up against, so it's...
Okay.
It's just... I fall, I climb, so on and so forth, back and forth. So, but yeah, other than that, not much. Just waiting for all this wonderful stuff we're going to go over to come out into the game. I guess for starters, since we didn't have an episode last week, we're just going to touch real quick on the Ewok event and how we felt about it, and not about Low Gray and Paploo. I want to talk about the Wicked event, the one person raid event. Now you did this event, right?
I did, as probably everyone and their mother who play this game did.
Now, did you actually do it, or did you do what the rest of us did and hit auto?
Well, I gave it a try, and considering I don't ever use Ewoks, period, I failed completely at it and just went back in, hit auto, and just did all my refreshes and just, like, free mods.
Yeah, did you refresh at all to get those gold mods?
I did. I used all three because it's just... Let's face it, a max of what was it, 190, 290 for the last one?
Mm-hmm.
It was for a free gold tiered mod. It's worth it.
Did any of those mods work out for you?
No, they did not, but my shard chat gave me some hope because I've got 4 or 5 Team Instincts players in there, and they were talking about, oh, yeah, one of our guys. He got a health cross mod from the event that turned into a 22 speed.
Oh, my God, I hate that person. I didn't get any speed secondaries on any of my mods.
Oh, don't worry, neither did I.
So,
but
yeah.
How'd you like the event?
I loved it. And not because I had to use Ewoks and stuff like that. I love the idea that they have, like, individual raids. And I want stuff like this to continue. Because this is going to be coming back. Mm-hmm. They said this is going to be coming back when Paploo and Low Gray and Wicket come out free to play, essentially. This event will be coming back. And you'll have to compete it again to get the Wicket shards instead of farming him in hard nodes. And I love that idea of it. It adds a little bit of strategy in a single-player mode.
Yeah, absolutely. And because this is a kind of a new thing, I'm also really hoping that with these territory battles that are supposed to be coming out soon, I have no idea when, is that they introduce these one-man raids in the later, I guess, areas
mm-hmm.
of that territory battle. Hopefully we're going to get to fight maybe an AT-AT or an AT-ST. Just something.
Yeah. What's going to be annoying is everyone's used to completing this Wicked event with, it turned out to be gear 10, level 85, 7-star Ewoks. Next time it comes out, you have to use your own.
Right. And the other important thing to keep in mind is, too, is that that was the lowest tier. That was a level 1 AT-ST.
Mm-hmm.
Against almost maxed out Ewoks, and sometimes you get shredded by it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be difficult. Now, when you get to the bonus event of this, when you get a 7-star Wicket, you can use any characters you want.
Hmm.
It's not...
Even though with this bonus tier, they're probably going to throw, like, a second AT-ST and just a whole other army of Stormtroopers.
Yeah, that's when you bring in your Resistance... And nobody gets to go. It's the joys of having Resistance. They may not be the best in Arena, but they make everything else trivial. So,
okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've talked enough about Murder Bears. Just had to go over them since we didn't have an episode last week. Let's get on to the part that actually matters. Or that we care about. The new August events. So... The character login for August is Farm Boy Luke. Now,
Blue Jane Luke.
Yeah, once we saw that, I think everyone knew big things were coming up for the Luke hero's journey, and they did not disappoint. So, they have the hero's journey, which we'll get into later, but it's basically a way for us to unlock Commander Skywalker, having to use Old Ben, Leia, Stormtrooper Han, Farm Boy, and R2-D2.
Now, we'll get into the whole Old Ben thing a little later as well.
Yeah, we'll just go with I'm super happy about that. But the R2, the reason R2 is important is they actually bumped up the R2 legendary event to go live today. Super early for a legendary event that just launched.
I guess it would be yesterday, depending on when this releases.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he released on the it came back on the 3rd of August, which is probably, 2 months since his event went live?
Whenever EA Play was out.
I think that was...
That's around the time... That should be about right.
Yeah. So
I think it was maybe May.
So basically two and a half months between the introduction of a legendary character and his event coming up again, which is insane to me. But the R2-D2 event is live, and it makes sense since it is required to use a 7-star R2-D2 to get Commander Luke.
Right. Which I have no issue with this.
No.
Being a big Empire player, I've got whatever I need to use in that event. Gear 11, whatever else not. So I'm happy.
Yeah. And it's not like there's any lack of Empire characters out there. I mean, there's what? 10, 12?
Yeah, about 12.
Yeah, so it's not like
hopefully more soon.
Sure, I guess. They're a dark side. But, I mean, to think of it, they're easy to get 5-7-star Empire characters. So I'm not worried about this part of it. But the R2-D2 event is out there, so if you don't have him, get him. He's probably one of the best support characters you can find in the game. He fits basically anywhere in any team.
Just not too much on dark side, however. If you run an entire dark side team in Arena, don't throw him in.
Really? Oh, yeah, I guess because none of his Zetas work with dark side. It's all light side.
Yeah, I've tried it, and don't do it.
All right. Well, for rule number one, don't go dark side. Then you get to use R2-D2.
Yeah, if you're going to use R2, don't run dark side.
Yeah. So, all right, so we have that event coming up. Then we also have the Luke Skywalker Flash events. Now, there's no change in them because we had these Flash events back in June, I think it was, where it was Luke versus the Tusken Raiders. So Luke and the Jawas. So no changes in any of it, which is a little disappointing.
Yeah, I was very disappointed when I opened up. Okay, I was like, oh, hey, Flash event this morning. Opened it up, and there were no rewards for me. No 3 Zeta, no anything. I was like, aw.
Yeah.
I guess because I already beat it once, I can't get the rewards again.
Yeah, and even the rewards from these Flash events are less than what they normally are, or they have been. So
what,
like,
they originally were.
Well, you don't, like, for the Phoenix ones and the Ewok ones, when you complete a Flash event after you've already done it, you get stuff like stun gun salvage, stun cuff salvage. You don't get that with Luke. You get like a tier down purple gear.
I didn't really notice that. All I was looking for were the Zeta materials, but okay, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, so it's not one of those gear catch-ups that some of the other ones can kind of be, but nonetheless, it's still beneficial to do it because everyone can use some of these, you know, holo projectors or, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, on top of that, you also see the return of the Empire packs. So you're talking the Emperor's Finest packs. So you're talking General Veers, Shore Trooper, Magma Trooper, Storm Trooper, Snow Trooper, Death Trooper, and I think that's all the troopers.
That's about it. You said Shore, so...
Yep, Shore. So if you have not bought one of these packs before, they're $19.99. And it basically gives you 80 shards for that character, 280,000 credits, some ability mats that are useless, really, and training droids.
No.
You basically can buy these once, so if you've already bought them, they won't show up. But I love these. I know you love them, Coleman. You bought it for Veers.
I did, and I don't regret it.
Yeah, because that was the last one you needed to complete out your trooper team.
Yeah, I have... In my roster, I only have one Imperial character in general now that I need to finish 7-star, and that's Imperial Super Commando.
Which will probably be soon.
It will be. Once I'm done with Old Ben now.
All right. I actually bought Shore Trooper.
Yeah, and then, I wouldn't feel bad about it, because, a lot of people, Shore Trooper is rough. His grind is so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hard node grind, and that pack is very enticing.
I bought it simply because I'm like, it gets him. I think he's just below 5-stars now for me, and I haven't put any work into him outside of... the event when he first came out and buying this.
Definitely the two packs out of this are Veers and the Shore Trooper.
Yeah. I mean, even Death Troopers wouldn't be a bad buy.
Not really, but I wouldn't exactly waste my money on Death Trooper considering he's got an actual Cantina node.
Mm-hmm. If you buy Magma Trooper, though, you deserve to be slapped.
Hey, don't doubt the Magma Trooper.
Oh, no, I don't doubt Magma Trooper, but I do doubt spending $20 to get 80 of his shards.
Oh, absolutely. He's Galactic War, everyone's got plenty of Galactic War currency, and you're good to go.
So, don't buy that. A couple of other packs you can get is the Faction Pack, which is I forget how many credits it is, or crystals it is, but you buy a pack and it awards one card of character shards worth between 10 to 330 shards.
Yeah, okay, so that one, the faction pack is pretty much the $10 pack.
Okay. And it can get you 10 shards or it can get you 330 for any one of, 12 characters?
You have Death Trooper, Director Krennic, Gar Saxon, the Grand Moff Tarkin, Imperial Super Commando, Magma Trooper, Royal Guard, Shore Trooper, Snow Trooper, Storm Trooper, that's a mouthful, TIE Fighter Pilot, or Veers.
Yeah. So you'd basically be spending, it's 699 crystals, so you'd basically be spending 700 crystals to get 10, you're most likely going to get 10 shards of one of these characters.
Correct.
I mean, personally, I don't think it's worth it. No. If it was for one character only, maybe. Because then you knew you'd be getting that one character you want.
Right.
But knowing me, I'd end up with hey, here's 50 Magma Trooper shards. Be like, well, that's not 700 crystals well spent.
Nope. Now, there is a pack that we haven't mentioned. It's actually 8 packs.
Yes, power bundle, right?
No, it's actually the mod set packs.
Oh, must have missed that. The mod set packs are back.
It's not very advertised in the game, like they said they were going to do a better job of, but they are back. You go to the resources part of the store, and they're all lined up right there. So I'll be buying a couple of them.
Which ones will you be going for?
Most likely the crit chance, crit damage ones. Okay. Just because I don't have a lot of those anymore.
I'd probably, if I do buy some, I'd probably go crit damage. Just because I don't have those mods, those challenges unlocked.
Okay, very fair. Yes, I farm a lot of speed mods. Just simply because the speed in our arena shard is so great, it's impossible to keep up with unless you do that.
Yeah. Now, for reference, these are all 1,000 crystals, or 999, and they did actually increase what you get. So you get, it used to be, it was, you could get 3, 4, or 5 dot mods. Now, you only can get 4 or 5 dot mods, and you're guaranteed a gold mod.
Right.
So, you're guaranteed, you get a full set, one of them's guaranteed gold.
So you could potentially get 2 or 3 gold mods, but most of us have an understanding about how these packs work, and that's, I just wanted to say something that they're out there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have all these new packs, more packs will be coming.
Oh yeah.
We will be going through that. These packs, like all these Emperor's Finest, only last for another 8 days.
About as long as the R2 event lasts.
Yeah, because once the R2 event's passed, these are all gone. And then we'll get new packs for all the new reworks that we will be getting into right now. One other thing that we didn't talk about on the patch notes is the What's Ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Say, What's Ahead? A refreshing change comes to old difficulties. Now, what do you think that is?
Well, it's going to be kind of the challenges. They're going to rework them a little bit, add better gear inside there. Probably 2 new tiers, maybe 1 new tier to each one. You know, where the strength one is going to include, like, stun cuffs or more Carbontes, hopefully.
Yeah, we talked about this a little earlier. I think stun cuffs, stun guns are almost have to go in. If they want to move to gear 12, they need to have a better way to get people over that hump from 8 to 9, and that's going to be stun cuffs and stun guns.
Yeah. Also, With us talking about stun cuffs and stun guns, and again, we did miss out on last week's episode, so there was a little bit of content in there that I kind of overlooked, didn't really pay much attention to, was the new crystal shipment setup.
Oh yeah, they changed everything around with the gear, essentially, right?
They added a few new things in there too. Like, say you're grinding stun cuffs and you placed first place in your arena a couple times, and you've got some extra crystals lying around. They've introduced, okay, now you can also buy 20 stun cuffs on top of what you already have to make a complete one. So it's a little bit better. I like the format a whole lot better.
Yeah. So definitely check that out, but let's get into the meat of our podcast, and that is going to be the introduction of the Hero's Journey Commander Luke. Do you want to go over some of? I'll let you go over some of his basic abilities.
Okay. I've actually got to pull it up here for a second.
Nope, no problem.
I was looking at all the new bundles, and just trying to see how they work out and how they would play out. Okay, so on Commander Luke, from the forums, what they've released to us, his basic attack looks like it's going to hit for a hefty little amount. Along with it, you're also going to have the description of it as deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict speed down and defense down for 2 turns. If the target already had speed down, remove 30% turn meter. Then, if the target already had defense down, inflict stun for 1 turn. Now, that's a lot for a basic ability. It's a little bit confusing. If you haven't read it, I urge you to read it, because it takes a few times hearing it in order to kind of understand it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Anything that puts 2 debuffs on a character on a basic.
Well, especially the speed down aspect of it. That's highly coveted everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they don't dispel it, the next turn they lose 30% turn meter and they get stunned.
Correct. Also, though, you've kind of got to worry about the other debuffs that are going to go along with it from your other, I guess, characters that are going to be on that squad with him. So it's just going to be debuffs flying everywhere, especially from R2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is definitely going to be debuff heavy, which they promised, but him and R2 go hand in hand in this
Absolutely.
Game. Like,
which, as they should.
I can't find a better combo in this game outside of maybe Troot and Baze than these two. And they don't even have, like, spelt out synergy.
No.
So it's insane. Like, these two are going to go really well. And this basic defense down and speed down will just make things that much better.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to his first special ability, Call to Action. The description of that is going to be dispel all debuffs on Luke, gain 100% turn meter, and recover 40% health and 40% protection. If Luke doesn't have the Call to Action unique buff, he gains it until the next time this ability is used. Cooldown of 4. There's also a second part of this ability, which we don't see a lot of that in this game. Is it the first one we've seen that has kind of a two-part multi
going on? I think it really is, because if you want to not use this, he becomes a tank, essentially.
Right.
If you want him to be more offensive, you use this ability.
Right, which is the second part of Call to Action, where if you don't use it, Luke ignores taunts during his turn. Forget I said that. Call to Action, when he has it on him, when it's equipped, Luke ignores taunts during his turn. It has 50% accuracy, 50% crit chance, 50% crit damage, and it cannot be dispelled or prevented. That's a little overwhelming considering the tankiness and the taunting of General Kenobi that's happening all around the meta right now.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can basically just ignore Kenobi, go right past him.
Yep. And it's the same thing with Zol. This is going to be the complete stab in the heart, last breath of Zol.
Yeah, Zol is, with this, Zol is, when you combine this with R2, Zol stands no chance of sticking around.
Absolutely not.
Now, reversely, I'll say this, if you decide not to use this ability, what happens is, when Luke doesn't have Call to Action, instead of the 50% accuracy, 50% crit chance, and 50% crit damage, he actually gains 50% counter chance, 50% critical avoidance, 50% defense, 100% tenacity, and gains 10% turn meter whenever another rebel ally takes damage. So he basically becomes a tank without the taunt. Like, he gains the counter abilities, he doesn't get hit, he gets no dots put on him, anything like that.
Do we know if he has a Jedi tag or not?
No, he does not. Does not. His tags right now are a rebel attacker, but he uses a lightsaber, which is just weird to have somebody using a lightsaber on the light side that's not a Jedi.
A couple years ago I would have said yes it is, but I've kind of grown used to the whole Finn having a lightsaber for a short amount of time, so it kind of eased me into it a little better.
Alright, fair enough. So now, that's his more offense-defense abilities. He has another special ability. They use the Force. And this is the one that just is insane to me. So he deals physical damage to target enemy, dispels all buffs on them, removes 100% turn meter, inflicts buff immunity, tenacity down for 2 turns, and then you reduce the cooldown of this ability by 1 if the target didn't have full health. That's insane.
It is, especially with, you know, Chiru and Barriss and their healing abilities. Their healing abilities really only do equalizing, unless you, of course, include Chiru's heal over time, which that's only on their turn.
Mm-hmm.
So you could essentially, with their healing, actual healing ability, bring your squad down to below full health, and then Luke just has a field day.
Yeah, it's insane the amount of really good buffs or debuffs he has. I can't think of one other character in the game that puts out this many effective debuffs on anyone. And dispels them.
Yeah, and dispels them. Moving on to his leader ability now. Rebel allies have a 50% counter chance, 50% defense, and 15% offense. Also, whenever any enemy resists a detrimental effect, meaning debuff, Rebel allies gain 5% turn meter.
I mean, that's annoying. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if we talk about the R2 synergy with him, having R2... So, alright, if let's say you have both of R2's Zetas. So that means every time a Rebel counterattacks, he can dispel himself of any negative status effects. Right away, just by hitting a crit.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes that Zeta that much better, because it was kind of so-so. Like, if you happen to feel like putting it on his dispel on crit ability, but nobody ever really did. But now it becomes even better, because you can get rid of those debuffs before they have a chance to even tick. If you crit on a counter chance.
Right, and then I can see people putting in Zeta Barriss so that even if a critical hit hits, it's not going to do anything.
True. Yeah, you really could. There's so many like different synergies that you could put with Luke.
Yeah, that's what scares me a little bit.
God. He still has one more ability, too.
No, he has two more.
Two more? Oh, one of them is the call to action when he doesn't have it.
Okay.
Yeah, so the last one is a unique. It binds all things. Luke has plus 40% potency, which obviously he needs with all those debuffs. And then whenever Luke resists a detrimental effect, he recovers 5% health, 5% protection. And then whenever Luke inflicts a debuff, he gains 10% turn meter, and all other allies gain half that amount.
I'm done.
Yeah. What?
I don't know what to say.
Like,
the only possible way I can even foresee we having a chance at being a Commander Luke team with an Empire team is if Thrawn gets his fracture off on him immediately, like first move of the game.
That's like, I've been trying to think of a team that can counter Luke, and I can't other than Thrawn.
Maybe Daze, but I'm not sure how that's going to work out.
I mean, you could use. Maul, but I mean, all you have to do is have a dispeller, have a Rex in there, have a Chroot in there. You have a Chroot in there, then Daze is useless because it will just get dispelled.
Yeah, but also, if you were maybe to run Darth Nihilus in there, he's fast enough to get that force drain off, might have a chance. I don't know.
Yeah. His Luke basically means you're not allowed to have any form of debuff characters going against him.
Henceforth, I think that means maybe the Ewoks will be the way to take down Luke.
God, did that just come out of your mouth?
Yeah, yes it did. I can't believe I just said it, but they're the only team that doesn't really depend on really any kind of debuff.
Yeah, I mean, the only other one what I could think of is maybe another Rebel team. Like, yeah. Honestly, it's the best way to beat Luke is with Luke. And just have a better Luke.
I think we're about to have a redo of Rebel metas instead of Wedge that was going to be Commander Luke.
Like, this unique ability is a better unique than Rex's lead.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's an improved Rex.
It's an improved Rex. And that's not even his leader ability.
I know. That's what scares me.
Okay. So, now that we've gushed over Commander Luke, I mean, we both agree he's going to be almost unstoppable.
Which this is really pushing me to get old Ben right now, so.
Exactly.
I think it's about time we
dig into the requirements. So the characters that you need are, you need old Ben, you need Farm Boy Luke, which most people are working on. You need Stormtrooper Han and Leia, who most people probably have at 7 stars, or should, because they're very easy farms.
Lord, I hope so, because they are two useful characters in raids.
Mm-hmm. And then R2, but everyone should either have R2 or working towards R2, because he was a legendary event. People generally go after legendary characters. The one outlier is the old Ben. Nobody really knew for sure that this was coming. And not many people farm him because he's not useful.
No, he's really not. He's that, okay, level 1, day 1 character. You know, he'll get you through the early part of the game, and then you just toss him aside like Chewbacca.
Yep. And, like, when this got announced, I was 7 of 80 to unlock him.
Hmm.
Yeah. I have my work cut out for me. Ella, what did you have him at?
Well, actually, Farm Boy Luke, or Blue Jean Luke, like I like to call him now because of the whole artwork thing and made him look like he had blue jeans on. He was my first ever 7-star character. Because I thought, oh man, Luke Skywalker, he's going to be useful down the road. Let me go ahead and 7-star him like early in the game.
You fell into that trap.
It's not a trap anymore.
No, it is not. Especially since they're reworking him. They just came out today and reworked him. And I don't know, did you have a chance to take a look at what his rework is?
I have it pulled up right now, so.
I mean, a lot of it is just, hey, basic attack, increased damage by 5-10%.
Which, that's no joke with this basic attack. Again, it has a tendency to hit a little bit hard.
Yeah, the big one is the reworked unique.
Right.
His bullseye, you know, his special ability, you know, cooldown reduced by 1, add speed down for 2 turns.
His leader ability,
You're not going to use it. It's one of those leaderships you're just not going to use, especially since it requires a Zeta.
Yeah, all it does, whenever you resist a detrimental effect, you gain advantage for 2 turns. And with his tenacity boost from that, you know, okay, but the critical hit thing is, you don't need it.
Yeah, now where it could get interesting is his unique, the draw bead. His new Zeta for it is, at the start of each of his turns, Luke gains 10% crit damage, stacking, until the end of the encounter. It's essentially what happens to Ezra with his offense.
Right.
But obviously with crit damage. And then he also gains 10 to 25% crit chance.
Right. Now, the only thing I have as I read this is that it reminds me of Tarkin.
Okay. Because of his potency?
Because his potency, it builds, essentially, until you fire his special off. Which, everyone was expecting this, oh my god, it's going to be a massive hit of like 200 plus K, and I can't wait to fire it off and see that big number. But as we kind of learned and played with Tarkin a little bit, it wasn't that way.
No. I mean, people did videos to show it, but they specifically went in to try and do that.
Right, and people were expecting it to be like, okay, hey, I build him up for like 5 or 6 turns, and he'll like unleash all complete wiping of a team.
Yeah. So the big question is, do you think this makes him viable?
You know, if the day comes where we have a leader ability to where a critical hit reduces all ally cooldowns, it'll be worth it. But until that day, I can't see it working.
Okay.
It's very tempting. It looks nice, it looks shiny, but end of the day, I'd say turn it down. Save your Zetas for Commander Luke.
Yeah, oh yeah. Which one thing we didn't mention, Commander Luke requires 3 of them. So yeah, save your Zetas for Commander Luke.
Time to start paying attention to ships a little bit better now for everyone who hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. So we have this is the first of 4 other reworks that they announced. So the other ones, we don't know what's going to happen. So we'll start with Princess Leia. The one thing we do know about her is in the little example, she has foresight.
Right, and this foresight, it's merely kind of speculation almost, because R2's in the mix too.
Yes.
If Princess Leia already had her stealth, and then R2 also used, for whatever reason, R2 used his smokescreen ability on Leia to give her foresight, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be foresight, but it could not, because foresight while stealth is kind of an oxymoron. Unless it's AoE damage.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's just like, I can't see it being useful to have foresight on Leia.
Now, what do you think they're going to do to Leia?
You know, I kind of pictured them leaving her alone a little bit. I can see maybe stacking or crit damage increase, even another multi-attack, but I can't see too much changing with her. Because she's got a whole new character coming out with these territory battles, and that's Hoth Leia, and that's where we're going to see the dramatic change.
Yeah, the only thing that I could say that I could see them doing for her is when she goes into stealth, adding turn meter.
Okay, I can see that.
Kind of like, so you're not like using her stealth and wasting a turn.
Yeah, maybe something that would help Leia out too is that on stealth, she has 100% chance to gain that offense up.
Yeah. Instead of the, what is it, like 60% chance?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, I could do something along that lines. But those are like just single. I don't think she needs much of a rework, if anything.
No.
The other
one is Stormtrooper Han.
I mean, I actually like Stormtrooper Han.
I do too. And the thing is that as kind of the consensus or skeptability of everyone around the game so far, the general consensus, I should say, is that generally whatever that skill is in his list that is level 7, above, because everything else is going to be 8, and there's going to be one ability in there that's going to be level 7. That's going to get the Zeta. So that's where I'm kind of drawing this off of, is that Stormtrooper Han is going to have a better leader ability. Or an improved leader ability.
Oh yeah, that's a good call. Well, he does have 2 that are at 7.
Right.
But yeah, he could get anything that makes him maybe even a little more tanky.
Yeah, he does tend to die a little fast.
That's really all I can think of to do to him. Other than that, I love his kit.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one, like, as far as a day one character goes, he's definitely got one of the better kits out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's another one that's going to be hard to tell what they do.
Yeah.
I don't even have any guesses for him, except just make him more tanky.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, let's go on to the fun speculation.
Oh, goody.
Old Ben. So Old Ben...
Oh, how the wise.
...in the video has taunt. He doesn't have taunt now, but in the video he has taunt. And there's no conceivable way he could be given taunt by any of the characters in the game that are in this group. So he has to be getting a taunt ability.
Yeah, yes, he has to. Now, a joke that I had last night going was that upon Old Ben getting that taunt, if he has no other debuffs, he gains Deathmark.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, okay, you're now automatically, no matter what, forced to hit Old Ben, and he will die in 4 hits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, if he gets, not even with the Commander Luke team, you give Old Ben a taunt, even if it's an auto-taunt, as a Jedi, that's huge. That's huge for Jedi.
Well, it's not only huge for Jedi, it's huge for everything, because as soon as he goes down, you've got a team of buffs you've got to deal with.
Mm-hmm. So, and not to mention the evasion. But oh, I don't know you'd be using his leadership ability over Commander Luke's.
I won't be.
Yeah.
Maybe during the event to acquire Commander Luke, I'll use Old Ben as the leader.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no.
Yeah, so outside of giving him a taunt, like, what kind of taunt do you think they should give him? Should it be an auto taunt? Or does he have to have a new ability that gives him taunt?
I can't see Old Ben having an auto taunt, because he's never been that kind of outlandish, hey, I'm over here type of person. He's always been like, only when he wants to be seen will people see him.
Yeah. Or when he's trying to protect Luke.
That's interesting you say that. Could it be kind of a Chaz kind of thing? Whenever Luke takes enough damage, Old Ben will come in and taunt?
It could be, because, like, if you look at the thing, obviously Luke hasn't taken any damage, but he gains health and protection back. So he can take damage and gain full health, but Old Ben would still get taunt. So it could be something like that, where if Commander Luke takes damage, Old Ben
takes damage
steps up,
or maybe even suffers a debuff.
Yeah, something like that. He just comes in to save him.
If something happens to Luke, then something along those lines, Old Ben will come in and taunt.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I like it.
Now, the last character that they said they're going to tweak or rework is Raidhan.
I am so happy they're doing this, too, because Han Solo is that iconic character. And ever since they introduced pre-taunting, auto-taunting around the line of Short Trooper, he's non-existent in this game.
Nope. I mean, I have him almost at 7 stars now, and I had zero interest in moving him up.
It's kind of one of those things like, okay, cool, yay, I get shards for him. Cool.
Yeah. But, I mean, in theory, his kit is awesome. Being able to go first, no matter what his speed, and stun someone.
Yep. But that's where they kind of messed up, too, because once they introduced that pre-taunt, you can only aim for one person.
Yeah. And that kind of screws things up. So
yeah, because the whole idea was, okay, hey, I can stun one guy on their team, and that's most likely going to be, like, Dooku or somebody who can counter.
Yeah, and I don't think they need to do a whole lot of work to him. outside of maybe just giving his shoot Han shoots first ability the ability to bypass taunt.
Yeah, or ignore taunt completely.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he works well with a Luke lead because Luke gives out, if I remember correctly, crit chance. Well, Han's special ability is deal physical damage to target enemy and gain turn meter equal to Han's crit chance. So he gets plus 50% crit chance from a Commander Luke lead. Bam.
Well, not only that, but he also has the ability, I forget what it's called now because I don't ever look at Han Solo. The one where he buffs the entire team with crit chance. I think, what is it, evasion on himself, and there's something else I'm missing.
He gives crit chance up for two turns, and then turn meter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so he gets turn meter, and evasion up for two turns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, he's got a good kit. It's just, like you said, those pre-taunters screwed him.
Right. And the more we talk about this, the more I'm starting to think maybe a certain somebody's going to be kind of interesting to use in this team.
And who would that be?
That would be someone they introduced who everyone thought, okay, she's going to be godlike. She's going to hit so many times, so hard. Ah. It'd be so annoying. And that's Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum.
Yeah.
There's going to be so many buffs flying around everywhere with R2, Commander Luke, Han Solo, possibly, you know, it's your choice on the last pick, but I might throw in old Ben. For, he might not have that many buffs to throw out, but when he dies, Ahsoka's going to get all those buffs and then just straight up murder somebody.
Oh, and not to mention her counter with her super strong basic attack. Yeah.
Yep.
That will be.
I think we're about to see the rise of Ahsoka. So,
like the other one I was thinking of is Ezra.
Yeah.
Ezra would be good with a Commander Luke lead.
Kind of, almost maybe Sabine.
Yeah.
Because she already gives herself a lot of crit damage.
There's just so many rebels that are good.
There's so many possibilities. I don't know where to go with this. I need to play around with them a little bit.
Like, that's all I want to do is play around. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you've got Wedge Biggs. I mean, heck, even, I mean, I'm not going to say it's ideal, but Bestain isn't the worst.
No. Pow isn't the worst.
McMull has been saying Powell's going to fit into a team sooner or later. This might be it.
Might be the team.
So yeah, those are the characters that they said they're going to be reworked within the next week. So when we film next week, we'll actually be able to tell what everyone's changes are, and we can theory craft a little more.
Yeah. As they release Commander Luke, get closer and closer, we'll be able to tell a whole lot more what he's going to be able to do.
Exactly.
As far as team composition around him.
Exactly. So, unless you got anything else, I think that should probably do it for our episode tonight.
Yeah. One final note is, hopefully, I know a lot of people out there in Arena are saying, okay, hopefully this kills off Rex, and I think it will. But on my end, I'm not thinking Rex. I want to see the death of Darth Nihilus.
Yeah. Oh, that is. Will he do enough to counter Nihilus?
That's the whole thing right now.
I don't know if he will. Like, I guess mainly because you can't prevent the ability cooldown increase.
Yeah, the drain force.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't prevent that. So, I mean, yeah, a Darth Nihilus team would be, like, a Darth Nihilus in a team would be a good counter to farm boy. A Darth Nihilus in any team is a good counter to anyone.
unfortunately, I'm getting tired of them. But anyway, that's pretty much all we have time for. So,
thank you all for joining us for our second episode with more to come. If you have any questions or you'd like to answer any questions, please email us at RebelForceAlliancePodcast.com or reach out to us on our Twitter page at RFApodcast. As always, iTunes reviews, much appreciated. Until next time, long live Commander Luke and all his bundle of joy.
Hopefully my Imperials can take him down, but I highly doubt it.